honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and an eye-opening perspective today from 90-year-old Dutch Vryhof of Hanford, California. He was just 7 years old when the Nazi occupation of the Netherlands began, and we've heard him describe things that most of us could never imagine living through.
And you've mentioned, you know, the underground a few times, and some people may have read about it or heard different anecdotes about it, but it sounds like you and basically all your family were involved in the underground in some way, huh?
We were. And the thing was, my uncle, a lot of the Dutch people, they live in Rotterdam on enormous boats. They were made of the boats that go on the Rhine River. They haul all kinds of stuff on the Rhine River. They're very big. And they would build homes on them, and then they anchor them in the canals in Rotterdam. Because Rotterdam is all water. It's direct contact with the ocean through the waterweg. Anyway, my grandparents, they had moved from the fancy home in my village, and they were living on a boat because my uncle, they had all the stand guns. They had stand guns in that time. And those stand guns were very, very accurate, fast weapons. And the underground was using them. And they stored them in the belly of my grandparents' houseboat. And that was something which was almost unbelievable. It was the truth, and he was really heavily involved. You can see him on that picture there. But anyway, when they firebombed Rotterdam, and then they came with a second wave about 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, I can't remember, because they were still not capitulating the way they wanted them to be. So they came with a second, and they also had torpedo bombs, and they torpedo bombed my grandfather. He had a big business on the water with a runway going through it, and he served all the Chinese restaurants in Rotterdam with fish. But he also had the rights to shoot, and he had a deal where the fowl came over. The ducks and the geese, and then he had a deal where he had tame ducks, and they would make the noise, and then those would fall down, and then he would shoot them, and he would dress them out for the Chinese restaurant in a certain way. They had to be dressed out. So he had a big business. Well, he got a torpedo bomb, blew him out of the water, and it hit the ship. My grandfather and my grandmother, they were able to swim. They knew how to swim. They made it to the shore, and then they walked all the way to our village.
I mean, this is mind-blowing stuff. So this is the grandfather that had all the guns stored in the bottom of his houseboat, and they bombed them?
Yeah, they bombed them.
And you're just a kid taking this all in, and what I hear you saying is you were risking your life every time you agreed.
I forgot to tell you, when we were starting in on the ammunition one day, and it was it had rained. There was a little bit of water in that canal, but not much. We just had gotten two cases with the deals on the handle. It took two of us to carry them, and so there was two cases. There was four guys, and on the other guys they had some more egg powder. And all of a sudden, one of those stinking German shepherds broke loose, and he came there and he came in and tried to attack us. And of course, the guard came out there. And he'd seen what was going on. Now this is, you probably say, you sucked this out of your tongue, but I didn't, this is a true story. This guard, he set up a machine gun, and he kept rattling it, and every time, and we were in this canal, and we had to stay down, and then they came, the several soldiers came, and they took all our stuff away, and they gave us a beating, and they let us go. And that was the truth. So we all peed in our pants, because we were just petrified and thought they were going to kill us. They set up a machine gun with a deal like that, and they laid behind it, and they kept just rattling over the canal, and we couldn't move. And the Sherman Shepherd right on the edge over there trying to attack, and they had to restrain that dog because of a killer. They had four of them.
Well, yeah. I'm sure most of the people listening right now would pee their pants, too, if they found themselves in a situation like that. I'm trying to imagine being a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid and dealing with those kind of conditions. Did you get used to it after a while?
What happened then is the English started to, and the Americans started to fly more shorties, you know. And now they knew that the headquarters, the underground had told them that the headquarters from that whole 1,000 men was right there in the hill, Villa Hendrina, that's what it was called, that was from the Bentings. So one day we played, there was a light pole in the village there, and that was the center of the town, okay? And then there was a music place where they play music on Saturday, and there was the school was right there, the public school. We played football, but we were so poor that the butcher would give us a bladder out of a male hog, and he would keep it for us, and it was about this big, and was all messed up and bloody. And then there was a station at the corner, and he would blow it up for us and put a knot in it, and that's what we used for soccer ball. So if you got it in your face and it was still with all that bloody mess on it, it was not very good. But anyway, that's how we did it. That's how poor we were. And kick it with the wooden shoes. Yeah, so anyway. Well, anyway, we were out there playing, and all of a sudden, the air sirens started to go off. They had installed sirens when the raids to warn the soldiers, because there was, right in front of our house, there was two batteries of anti-aircraft, okay, right smack from here to the wall over there. And they made a run, you know, they dug in the dike, and they made a run and put a roof with sods over it. And when the air raid started, they came out of the school through, and then they manned that anti-aircraft gun. And then they start coughing away at the Allies going over. Yeah, so that's how that was, see. The sirens went off, and there was four, I still remember it, four, all of a sudden out of real low, four bombers came, and they dropped their bombs, but they missed the villa. And they hit the service station, but they didn't kill anybody. And it hit, we had our land right there, and there was three big old gaping craters where the bombs had fallen. And the air pressure from where the bomb hit at the service station and didn't kill anybody, the air pressure knocked us over, and we all were blown against the fence of the school. That's the truth, man, of the, yeah. So they missed the headquarters. And then, you know, things were getting worse and worse. And then they had the fight by when all the gliders landed by Arnhem, and they were trapped. The Germans were waiting for them with heavy artillery and tanks and everything.
This is what we know as Operation Market Garden?
Yes. All the English were in with glider planes.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them. And they all got in a trap, and they got murdered bad. The grave over there, Marinette grave, you can walk for miles, nothing but graves of air English and American people killed, yeah. Anyway, and you know, of course we heard about all that stuff going on, and they would come over and they drop propaganda leaflets, the Allies did. And then we would know what's going on in the different fronts, and we found out about Patton. Yeah, we heard all about Patton. So anyway, the war started to dwindle down somewhat, but, oh, I was going to trade college, and I had a bike all the way to Rotterdam, and then every time that the sirens start going, we had to go into there was a ditch along in Holland they have bicycle paths all over. That's normal. And there's a ditch on the long side. That's why you do your business, you know. So every time that the air raids went on, then we had to get off our bike and duck down in the ditch. That's how it was. It was just a very scary time. Everywhere there were soldiers, and every place there was constant tragedies happening, you know. And the hunger was the worst thing. No food, that was the worst of all.
things so many of us take for granted were definitely not taken for granted by Dutch Fryhoff. But I'm realizing we're going to have to continue this conversation on our next episode of Hometown Heroes because we're out of time, and I do not want you to miss his memories of the day his village was liberated. He's got some great photos of that day that I have posted for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, where you can also find a short video of Dutch with a special souvenir he's held onto for all these years. More of this immigrant's journey, including why he is so thankful he made it to the United States. That'll come next time here on Hometown Heroes, as we see through the lens of one who had rights and liberties taken away by a tyrannical regime until the Allies came along, another example of the truth behind those four words we conclude with each week on this program: freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.